important topics, I think, in Scripture, and one of which God is leading, teaching, training all of us as we appropriate all that God reveals to us by faith. And we've got a title very simply tonight, Thy Will Be Done. Thy Will Be Done. And we're going to base our teaching tonight from Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 36 of Hebrews chapter 10, which says, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." After you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. God's will is going to be accomplished in our lives. To those that want God's will, to those who are willing to believe for it and yield for that work to be done. And it's a lifetime. It's a walk. And we know this because we only have to look at the life of Abraham. And Abraham received the promise at the end, and that was his son, and the will of God to be fully accomplished was him willing to give up his son unto God. And we find that there are similar patterns and ways that God is working with each of us. And for the will of God to be accomplished in and through us, God has to deliver us from this world, the spirit of this age, the affections, the lusts, the idols, those things that we still want to cling to or to run to when there's an emergency. But we're going to find, if we want to be overcomers, God is going to touch every area and facet of our lives. No stone will be left unturned. Many of which are the trials of our faith. And so I want to talk about this evening, Thy Will Be Done. Because we're going to see the sovereign work of God, how he works and accomplishes this in our lives. You see, the will of God isn't achievable unless it's God's mercy and grace. It is absolutely impossible. One shouldn't even begin to attempt it unless you are experiencing the grace and mercy of God. Because this is how it's achieved. And of course, this grace and mercy of God also includes his long-suffering, his patience, his endurance, his faithfulness, him staying with it, never forsaking us, leaving us, and so on. So, this is what we're looking at this evening. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Because verse 35 tells us why we should hold on to verse 36. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What is the condition here? Don't cast away your confidence. In other words, don't cast away your first love. Stay with what God has been giving over the years. And he says, in order for that to be done, you have need of endurance, because it's a work that God is doing in and through each of us. This is why so often we say to you that this whole walk, walking with God, is very much a waiting on God. It's the school of waiting. Because so often we are waiting for whatever it is that we're believing for. And there is much that we believe for and are looking for. Certainly the coming of the Lord. We know that the signs are telling us that he is coming soon, even though he may well be tarrying at present. There's so much when we embrace the promises of God's word, even in this life, where it's waiting for it. And of course, we're not very good at waiting on God. We are impatient. But you see, patience, waiting on God, accomplishes, as we see here, the will of God in our lives and in the church. This is how it's accomplished. For the will of God to be accomplished in Jesus' life, that was him going to the cross for us, took some 32 years of his life. God working in him. We're told in scriptures that he learned through the things that he suffered and went trials and what he went through. So it's the same principle in operation as it is with us. This is why we call ourselves overcomers. We're overcoming all those things that try to hold us back. So it's God's will being accomplished in our lives and in the church. And this is why we walk by faith and not by sight. Verses 37 to 39. Let's just read this of the same chapter. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, or his faithfulness. But if any one draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, or trial, in other words, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So, of course, ultimately, the will of God, God's will, is that we be saved. But we find that through God's will that we be saved, it isn't his will that we be saved by the skin of our teeth. But he shows us in our walk of salvation that there are rewards. There are orders in God's realm of salvation. One of which we know is the overcomers. The first fruits that are going to be brought in. The man-child that is to be manifested. So we see right through dispensation, there have been orders. There have been those that have walked closer with God, have gone higher up with God. It's how much you hunger. So the will of God, I believe, for this closing age, where the church is concerned, is that he has sons that mature in the faith, into fullness. That, I believe, is the will of God. And our lives, our experiences, is telling us that, by the mercy of God. His will is that we overcome, so that we get these added rewards. We know that it's God's will because he teaches that us in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that prayer principally shows us that there is the will of God, or the perfect will of God, to be accomplished through God's people in this life. and he will reveal his will, what he wants for us. This is why he's teaching us and showing us what his will is. And we learn what his will is, but in order to do his will is another thing. As we so know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And this is where God works with us, and this is where he presents to the overcomer the cross. Because the cross is the key in which the will of God is going to be accomplished. The cross is not going to show any mercy to you with regard to compromising. And all areas where we're still compromising, whether it's what we want, or whether it's with our families, or whether it's at work, at home, in relationships, or in marriage, or whatever it is, you will find that the cross is absolute. And that is how the cross will work. And the cross will give you no peace until death finally comes, which is the will of God accomplished in your life and my life. We're still trying to get away with things, certain things. And a lot of it is compromising. And the cross won't let us compromise. The cross won't let us befriend the world or rely on the world and its resources. The cross makes us totally abandoned unto God. It is you and God. That is what the cross does. That's what the cross did for Jesus. It separated him finally from the world. But it was his greatest release and deliverance and victory. And it is exactly the same for you and I. We look to other means to try and get that victory, to get that deliverance, to get that healing and so forth. But we have to come right back to the cross and let it do its work. And this is where the will of God comes in, where we surrender to it. And that probably is about 75% of God's working in our lives up to this very day and moment that God is doing with you and I to make sons in these last days. Jesus fulfilled his Father's will. We know it because the scriptures tell us. I read it just quickly that you know very well in Luke 22 and verse 42. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He knew there was a cup there that had to be drunk. That cup in his flesh was bitter. But after resurrection, it was sweet. And it's the same with us. God is working in those areas where he wants to hear from us, Lord, it isn't my will, but your will be done. We've too often simply given lip service in that area. But Jesus knew the reality of what he was saying there, because they were coming for him. They were going to arrest him. So the reality of those words were real. And God has a way of getting us to say these things not from our head in a religious way, but from our hearts. And that's what he's working with you and I. Because when it then comes from the heart, that's when it's faith. And that dropping that 18 inches takes time. That is why God is long-suffering. He's patient towards us as he's working this perfecting work within us. And Jesus lived by this principle of his Father's will. It was always there in his life, his walk, his affection, his heart. We know this because scriptures show us. John chapter 5 and verse 30. John chapter 5 and verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus was not out trying to justify himself. He was not out wanting his own way to do his thing. We clearly see this. It was the will of God. He says, whatever judgment I have, the judgment that I have is on the basis of righteousness. It is a righteous judgment. That's what I'm answerable to. And that's the same principle in our lives as well. The moment self is in the way, it is no longer righteous. It is of the world. It's devilish, demonic. God justifies us. God defends us. God speaks on our behalf. We still too much want to do it our way. We still want to have our say. And God says we surrender it all. That's why we look foolish so often. This is why the world laughs at us. This is why the early Christians went to the gallows, thrown into the lion's den, saying nothing, not trying to justify themselves. For they saw a greater resurrection, a greater hope. They had a revelation of the risen Lord Jesus Christ that I think at the moment the church doesn't see yet. But persecution will bring that. We go on in John 6, verse 38. John chapter 6 and verse 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. That was his mission. It's not my will, but the one who has sent me, his will. 'Tisn't about me. And it's exactly the same with us. Our life, our walk, our salvation, our belief in Jesus, our confession in the promises of God's word isn't about us. It's about the will of our Father in heaven, for his glory. Let's look further if we're still not convinced. How about John 8, verse 29? John chapter 8, verse 29. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him, which is the will of God. And it pleased the Father to send his Son to the cross. So, as we look at all of this, in light of what we're talking about tonight, and that is thy will be done, this has to be an affection of the heart. This is something that God has to put in us through the new birth, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He has to put this affection of the deeper life within us. This is why I say so often, flesh and blood cannot reveal these things. This is given by revelation. Our ears and eyes and hearts opened to what God's doing in these last days. You see, what we need to understand in light of what we're talking about here is that God is bringing us into this real intimate relationship with Him, where He's calling us friends. There's a bride preparing herself for marriage. So we're talking of a unity, we're talking about an intimacy with God. And He will work this if you let Him. And He will work this to a point where you should start to walk with God, where you're not always asking Him to show you His will. If we're still always asking God for His will in everything, we're not in that place yet. Because this is a sign that you're not quite there yet with Him and in relationship and walking with Him in total faith. If we have not settled for total faith in our lives, we're still not going to always quite trust Him, and we're always going to be asking Him, is this your will, isn't it? Give me a sign, and so on. Now, we know we're growing up, we know God is patient and everything, and so on. But the point is, sons that walk with God, sons and daughters that walk with God, you will know His will, because you're in perfect oneness and harmony with His will. And you'll know if something's wrong, because He'll just produce that sense of restraint in your life, just to check, not sure. And you hold back. Or you don't go forward because you have become so sensitive, so one with Him. It takes a lot of time in prayer, keep seeking always the will of God when there is so much more to be prayed about. You see, brothers and sisters, you either hear this tonight or you don't. Because what God is saying, He wants to take us to another level with Him. That's putting it in crude terms, sadly. But it's to go deeper in relationship and oneness with Him. And so if it's not God's will, there's that restraint there, you then stop. You wait until God clearly shows you, or the fog clears, and so on. Instead of getting all upset, fearful, or whatever it is. You see, all the while there is fear there. Fear will still keep asking the will of God, because you're not at peace yet. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. It's that knowing, that experience of God, His love to you and your love to Him. That's what this is about. That's what sons are being prepared for. We have to be delivered of this questioning whether this is of God, whether it's His will or not. Are we still questioning the deeper life, its teaching, what God gave us years and years back? Are we still questioning that? If you are, that tells you an awful lot. you're not yet experiencing the Father's love. There's still fear there. There's still unbelief there. Now, it's interesting, having said what I've said, and I know that's very challenging, and I've really had to think about this and pray about this. But, you know, we begin to see more and more why God introduced us to faith right the way back. An uncompromising faith. A faith that will completely believe for everything, for mind, body and spirit. No compromising in it. We can see why God gave us this way, way back through those teachers. Because this has been teaching us and still is God's provisions for our lives. His promises, which is to be accomplished, not in heaven, but in this life. And this is very instrumental in God's will being done. This is why he says in Philippians 2:13 that he works in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. So his will being done is for his pleasure, his glory, that the world may see. The light of God has to be really brought back into the church in this last day. And it will only ever shine in the true church of Jesus Christ when the church is doing the will of God and obeying God and not doing their own thing. Worshipping God how they want to worship him. Which is what, sadly, much of Christendom is about. But he has got a remnant in these last days who are going to trust him and obey him and who are motivated by the love of God. Not that they have to do it, but they want to do it because that's what love wants to do. And that's what he's working with. Let's turn to Hebrews 13 and verse 21. Hebrews 13 and verse 21. Well, actually, let's go from verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Here it is again, exactly what we're talking about, that he may make you complete in every good work. In other words, your belief, your stepping out in faith, applying the word of God, the promises of God, standing upon them. Complete in every good work to do his will. There you are, it's his will working in you as is well-pleasing in his sight. One could raise this question, is what we're talking about tonight, our meeting together tonight, is this pleasing in his sight? Is this what he wants? Well, you have the witness of the Spirit within you. You either know it is or it isn't. So it is pleasing in his sight. The very fact that we're talking about his will being done, not our will, is pleasing in his sight. And all he ever asks of us is simply to believe. And on that basis, he will do the rest. Not my will, your will be done. That's all he asks. And yet that takes a lifetime, doesn't it? And there is the mercy and long-suffering and patience of Almighty God in which to accomplish and work that. Hallelujah. I believe with all my heart that adoption, sonship, is God's will for the last days. As we close and bring this to a conclusion, let's just remind ourselves of scriptures in this, in Ephesians chapter 1, 7 to 11. You know it well. Let's remind ourselves again of it. Ephesians chapter 1, 7 to 11. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us, here you are, he's made known to each one of us the mystery of his will. He's making it known tonight, brothers and sisters. This is a mystery. Why? Because most of the world can't receive what you're receiving. According to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. So this good pleasure, his will to be accomplished, he's purposed this in himself. And that's why he's in you, lives in you now, working that for his good pleasure. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. So it's not only heaven, but it's also on earth as well. Those that are left, you and I, brothers and sisters. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And so it goes on. So there we are. God is raising sons, a man-child group to himself in these last days. Why? The reason shows us quite clear in verse 12 that he who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. It isn't about you. It isn't about me. It isn't about FGA. It is about the glory of God. And God is very jealous over his glory. And I think we're learning and we can see why. So how is this going to be accomplished, brothers and sisters? You may be saying tonight, oh, Pastor, I've heard this, but oh, gosh, you just don't know my life. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the things that I battle, things that have gone on for years and years and years. Well, I've got news for you. Faith needs those trials, and the cross will work this out. That isn't for you to question. And all the while you are questioning, and all the while you are trying to understand, nothing makes any sense in the natural. But we're not in the natural. We're in the supernatural. We are a supernatural people, a royal priesthood, who walk by faith and not by sight. So don't try and bring the worldly things in to this walk that you are walking, because it will never make sense, and it never does. Light and darkness don't mix. But the reason that we walk by faith is so that the will of God will be ultimately done. And all your faith includes all the rest, as we read in the promises of God's word, whether you're believing for your family, your loved ones, believing for healing, deliverance, all those needs that we have at home, food on the table, a roof over our head, whatever it would be, all those things that God said he will provide, he will give that. But faith moves even beyond that. Faith starts to move to the ultimate goal. And that is God's will being done. That is what I believe faith ultimately is to look for and to believe for. Because you can go no higher than that. That is for his good pleasure. And Abraham, he saw that, and God tested him with it, and he was willing to offer up Isaac on the altar. And so God is going to spiritually take us to those places where we're going to spiritually offer up our Isaacs, so that God will see that we're believing for his will to be done and accomplished. That's why it's not by might nor by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. This cannot be accomplished, as I said at the beginning, by simply believing and thinking, well, it's a good idea, and yes, this is what God's will is, and so forth. I'm going to say something that I wouldn't say to young babes in the Lord. But I trust that you are at that place to be able to receive this in the right heart and spirit. But you have to be called for this from the foundation of the world. And you say to me, well, how do I know if I'm called or not? You'll know simply because in your heart you have a great desire, love and zeal and affection for God's will to be done. There is no greater sign telling you that you have been called from the foundation of the world to be an overcomer, a first fruit, presented, brought in, placed upon that mighty altar to show the harvest that is going to come. What a great reward. What great blessings that the Father is giving to us. He doesn't have to do this. Just salvation is enough. And yet there's so much more that he's showing us. This is why he's given us the revelation of Revelation 12. Very few brothers and sisters have the insight, revelation and understanding of that. I know of very, very few. I don't know any who are really preaching that. And I'm not saying we're the only ones. But who has revealed that? How do we know that? We know it because God has revealed it. And he won't reveal something in the way that he is if he's not going to promise these things. So we stop asking why, when. Is this your will? Am I right? Whatever it is. Trust in the Father's love. Trust in the fact that you love him as well. And nothing separates us from that love. And that is the greatest anchoring and rest to your soul and heart and spirit. That is the very condition what faith requires and needs to act. That's why faith and love work together. You can't separate them. That is part of the fruit of the Spirit that God's working in each of us. Why? Because Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. And Lord willing, the fruit that he's producing in us, and I can only speak for FGA, will be the fruit that shows we are those overcomers. We're part of the bride, the wise virgins, being prepared for God's glory. Father, you reveal such love. You love us so much that we still at times are just not convinced. We still allow that fear, that what if, not sure. But Lord, you're delivering us from that. You're causing us to come into a rest that at times very few find. But you have said, if you search for me with all your heart, you will find me. And Lord, we thank you that you have put that hunger within our hearts. Never let it go out, Father. Whatever hindrances are still in the way, in your mercy, remove them. We desire to find that rest, that solace with you, like John, who laid his head on your bosom. That's how close we want to come. We want to experience and know that nothing will separate us from the love of God, because we know that that is your will. That is how your will is accomplished, and they are the conditions of what faith needs to believe, to operate. Father, thank you that you are working with us, moulding us into your image and likeness. But we know there's coming an hour and a time when you will manifest all of this. You will reveal. And Lord, we will be ready, because you will have done that perfecting work. And when this is revealed, it will be revealed on the basis that your will be done. It's not about us, it's all about you. So Father, help us in our weakness. Help us if we're doubting. Help us, Father, if we're looking to other things, relying on the world, listening to its lies. Help us, Father, to be delivered from this, so that we hear from you, that we believe your word and your promises, and there's not that doubting, that questioning. Help us not to look to others, but to look to you and your word and what you're doing in each of our lives. So often, Father, the enemy tries to condemn and reveal where we look to other things or other Christians, and he's so vocal, well, that it didn't work there, or he didn't get healed, did he? Father, forgive us that we still fall victim to that. Lord, work with us so that nothing can influence us. Nothing of this age. That we come to that place where we are so settled on you, on your word, your faithfulness, your love, that nothing will deter us. That is your will being done. But we know, Father, we are a work in progress. And as you've revealed again tonight, that you are long-suffering, gentle, patient. But help us not to take advantage of that, but to seek you while you may be found, to bow the knee when you're speaking to us, to confess when you highlight those things in our life, not to leave anything or to procrastinate. We know the time is getting short. We sense the urgency in the way you're teaching us now. And so, Father, we are your sheep and you are our shepherd. And we believe that we're safely in your flock, in the fold, looking to you as you lead and guide us. Thank you, Father, tonight for this meeting, for this word. I pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters that their faith fails not, that they will have their eyes and heart and whole being set like a flint, looking to Jesus and him alone. For this we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.